You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Logistics, car rentals and vehicle sales really isn't the space to be right now thanks to COVID-19. Barloworld, which owns brands like Avis, Manline Freight and operates leading motor franchise dealerships Audi and BMW, has plunged to a 1.5 billion rand loss at the halfway mark. The virus has forced Barloworld to write down millions of rands in goodwill and intangibles on the back of lower cash flows that COVID-19 threatens to bring about. The group said it's recognized a 1.7 billion rand in impairments because of COVID-19 and is announcing a massive cost reduction program as a result. CEO Dominique Sewela is on the line. Dominique, welcome. When you saw COVID-19 coming in the early part of this year, as a board, how did you begin to brace for the impact?
I think, you know, we started seeing it in a, you know, mainly in February in our logistics business. You know, but I think, you know, towards the end of March when we, you know, had, you know, the first person who contracted COVID in Durban, it became very clear it is here with us. But having had this experience with global, you know, financial crisis, it was very important that we move with speed because we knew what it meant. It is going to be a huge cash burn. As you won't be able to have, get a top line, it's important to really minimize the cash burn and contain costs and reduce costs, you know, and my team and I, you know, we're working for at least the better part of the first 6 weeks, 7 days a week, twice a day meeting to make sure that we align on and we stress test what we think, how long this is going to be. We projected at the time that we liked to see a lockdown of 3 months. And, you know, this is where we are. And thank goodness we took that view. We engage our OEMs. We engage our bankers. We, you know, and deferred, you know, all kinds of things. And I think, you know, I'm glad that, you know, it has worked out. And, you know, I guess from an executive point of view, we also took huge knock in terms of salary reduction for a 12-month period. And now we felt that it is not even enough to do that. You know, when you look at the type of impairment that you've highlighted, Michael, we need to now also look at saying we now consulted with the unions in terms of Section 189 to look at reducing the number of employees.
What is the sort of number that you're looking at there? Obviously, that's going to cost in terms of retrenchment costs. What are those numbers and how much savings are you expected to deliver over the medium term through a reduction in your headcount?
I think for the balance of the year, which is the 6 months, you know, taking into account the salary cuts, you know, were effected 1st of May, you know, and then we look at, you know, if you're able to conclude the retrenchment program latest by August, and you look at maybe having some saving there. But in terms of all the other expenses that we've cut, we're looking at about a range of 700 to 720 million. That's pre-implementation costs. When you look at the number of people that are involved in the retrenchment at the moment, we're estimating spending anything from 270 to 320 million rand in terms of retrenchment costs.
And this is obviously indicative of the depth of the crisis that we find ourselves in. And obviously, you have to now strike a balance between shedding as much cost as you can, but not cutting so deep into the muscle and the bone that you can't sufficiently take advantage of opportunities when the COVID-19 storm is in the rearview mirror, so to speak. Just take me through your modeling. You said as an executive, you've stress tested various scenario plans. How much longer do you expect this, the COVID-19 induced economic malaise to be with us? And let's perhaps be a little bit more specific with that question. In the motoring industry in particular, we saw in April sales down 90%. We did see something of a comeback in May as dealerships started reopening and into June as well. And in South Africa, consumers are faced now with a very low interest rates, the lowest that it's been in the last 5 decades. So favorable from that perspective. And we also see a lot of stock coming in from car rental fleets that are going to be defleeting as well. So it does look like a buyer's market. When do you see it returning to some semblance of normality?
If I look at motor retail, you know, so sort of we are specific, we think probably we'll see, if we use 2019 as a benchmark, we won't return to those numbers, you know, at least in the second end of next year. And when we look at Avis, rent a car, we're probably thinking 2022, where we may be seeing, you know, numbers similar to last year. And so hence we took a view of 18 to 24 months before we can see the recovery. And that's not even for sure, because as you said, COVID-19 happened at a time when the economy was weak already, and it was further worsened that, you know, we have had a credit downgrade. So the fact that people are facing retrenchment and there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty, I don't think people will be buying cars when they are preoccupied in trying to, you know, pay for their bonds and their essentials.
A very good point there. And I think another mega trend emerging from COVID-19 is the acceleration of digitization. It's magnified what was already a very big trend pre-COVID. How in the supply chain business do you see this affecting supply chains? Because the one thing that we have seen, it's almost as if supply chains were the banks of the 2008-2009 global financial crisis. So were the supply chains in this crisis, because we saw countries closing their borders, we saw hard lockdowns around the world, and really supply chains ground to a halt.
And that's what, you know, we think, you know, pose this, other than just the whole supply, is to globalization. You know, what happens to globalization? Because, you know, if you rely on your neighbors or your external people to provide you services, goods and services, you found yourself in a quagmire. Because that's why we were able to pick this up, because of our logistics business, because we're not able to import on behalf of our customers products, you know, from China. I think there's a lot of change that's still to happen. And I don't want to sound very clever, you know, and hence our view is that, you know, we are reviewing our entire automotive portfolio, where we'll be presenting to our board in terms of various options, but also saying the logistics business, as it currently sits, this was a year where I was supposed to make a decision. What do I do? I think COVID has accelerated that we must look at exiting that business.
And obviously your strategy is fix, optimize, grow. And I think there's a lot to fix thanks to COVID-19. How have you altered the strategy to deal with this COVID curveball?
I think when you look at things like fixing and optimizing, that still remains, you know, because what, you know, fortunately what we have embarked upon is what we call Barlowell Business System, which look at processes and how to eliminate waste. That will go on. And all those businesses, whether we decide to sell them or keep them, they will focus on that. I think the unfortunate part was that now we had to let people go, because we have to preserve cash and ensure that, you know, we still are left with a company that is sustainable to take advantage of any growth prospects, you know, that are down the line. So that for me is some element that I'm saying the fix, you know, an optimized part will stay. But, you know, there are opportunities that could come our way on the growth side. You know, but it's too early to tell.
On the growth side, Dominique, we've just had a supplementary budget that has been quite firm on the debt side of the balance sheet. The finance minister saying we've got this hippo's jaws that's eating our children's future, and has got cabinet buy-in to produce a budget surplus come 2024. I think there's a lot of question marks around the credibility of that, but it's there, it's on the table. And it came on the back of a sustainable infrastructure development symposium held the day before that emergency budget, where we saw a real commitment to use construction and infrastructure as a catalyst to try and get this economy growing again. I think 55 projects have made it through this SIDS vetting program. It now sits in a special office inside the presidency, administered by Dr. José Enzo Ramakgopa. It does seem like this time potentially could be different. It's not the first time we've heard infrastructure being touted as this catalyst to get the economy going again. Do you think that there is a renewed sense of partnership between government and the private sector? And how confident are you that we can get this infrastructure program going, much like a new deal that we saw back in the 1930s, to get South Africa growing again?
I must say, like you, I've heard this so many times before, that I'm a bit of a skeptic. I'll believe it when I see it. If you look at how our construction companies have been decimated over the years, and obviously when you look at our construction businesses, it's been affected. So I hope, you know, this time I'm wrong, and we see the program coming through.
That was Barloworld CEO Dominique Sewela on the line, talking about the company's results in many sectors that have taken huge hits from COVID-19. And considering the circumstances, I think demonstrating how important it is for corporates to have entered this with strong balance sheets. You're listening to Classic Business.